we organize the Chico Mendes Week, where we have the youth working, that the legacy of his work continues.
Ângela Mendes, the daughter of the Brazilian rubber tapper and labor leader Chico Mendes, assassinated in 1988. He fought to preserve the Amazon rainforest and the indigenous people who live there. We spoke to Ângela Mendes at the UN Climate Summit in Belém, Brazil, last week. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Cannabis is now legal in New York, but only for adults 21 and over. You should talk with the young people in your life early and often about the effect that cannabis can have on the growing brain. For more information, go to cannabis.ny.gov.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. Today's ice sightings have been reported in Brentwood and Fifth Avenue, as well as Central Islip on Wheeler Road, Dix Hills on Otsego Avenue, Uniondale on Hempstead Turnpike, Central Islip on New York Route 111, and again on Fifth Avenue in Brentwood and Stein Drive as well, Central Islip, Wheeler Road, and Patchogue Division Street. Be careful out there. It's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Fix it in post. Okay, here we are. You see, I sound a little bit off right there. I sound off. I just got to move my microphone a little bit so I sound as good as I want to sound. Not too good, you know. You don't want to sound too good, but just want to sound good enough. Okay, that's fine.
I like what I'm hearing.
What are you hearing? Oh, this. Yeah, I guess it sounds all right. You can't hear yourself?
No, I'm saying I can hear and I like what I'm hearing.
Okay, all right.
But
do the listeners, though? That's the question. Do the listeners like what they're hearing?
I don't even think they know who I am yet.
Well, because you haven't introduced yourself. I haven't introduced myself. And we have that cloak of anonymity right now.
And what were you talking about, post?
No, that wasn't supposed to go out. Yeah, we polish it up. We make everything sound spiffy. But yes, this is WUSB. We are in the middle of our biannual, the one that's twice a year fundraiser called Radiothon. And we encourage you. We urge you. We would really like you to contact the radio station, either by calling 631-632-6901, and if that line either goes to voicemail or doesn't answer because people are either busy or doing other things at the moment, WUSB.fm is our website. And on that website, you can find a link to pledge whatever you can afford to keep WUSB broadcasting 24/7, 365 days a year. And 366 on that fourth year. So please, pledge whatever you can to keep WUSB broadcasting all kinds of alternative programming. We just had an ice bulletin at the top of the hour. Not every station does that, you know? Yeah, and we're just letting people know what's going on out there. That's what we do. And a lot of stations don't do that. If you tune around the dial, you might hear some familiar tunes. You might hear, other things out there, but will you hear the things that you hear on WUSB? You wouldn't hear what we just had in the last hour with Amy and Democracy Now! No. You wouldn't hear the kind of music we play. You wouldn't hear so many things that we've been broadcasting.
Yeah, as local as we are, we're connecting you with the world, with everything that people are discussing that is around you. From weather to the kind of breaking news and all of that is the kind of thing that you're supporting in supporting community radio. And we normally have that real incredible mix of programming and occasionally stop to ask, hey, do you like this? A contribution would help us make more of it, or at least keep what we're doing fresh and well resourced so that it is as good as it always is. So we really are so appreciative of whatever contribution, large and small, one time or recurring. Those are really meaningful gifts.
You know, we have a few mailing lists here at the radio station. One of the conversations going on right now, it's sad. It's sad to see things like this happening because this is what we're driven to. But we have Macintoshes at the radio station that are so old that Macintosh, Apple, they don't want anything to do with them. They refuse to support them. And what happens is programs that we use to broadcast are not working because they're no longer supported. And if you try to update it, it will refuse to update it because the computer is so old, the operating system is no longer supported. And we wind up really having to scramble. Things get slow. Things get full. It's we shouldn't have to operate this way. But that's what happens. That's what happens when you don't have a huge budget, when you're not a commercial radio station. You have to scramble. You have to use your wits. And I think that's a good thing, learning how to do that. But, we shouldn't feel like it's a losing battle. And if there were a new Macintosh out there for the radio station, my God, it would mean so much. So it's not just a pledge that that can help. If you have connections, if you have matching funds with various companies, we're a nonprofit after all. By all means, follow through on that. You can write to us here at Off the Wall. We can always pass any offers or ideas along to management. Our address is otw@2600.com, otw@2600.com. But yeah, I was reading that and it's, we can't fix it because there is no fix anymore. And that's just typical of the tech world right now, because they tell you that things are no longer supported and you have to buy a new one. even though the old one still works. They just won't support it. The perfect example, something we talked about on the other show, is the Nest thermometer, first and second generation. If you were foolish enough to actually buy something that showed a lot of promise and worked really well around 10 years ago, well, now you have to buy it again only because Google said, we're not going to support this anymore. It still works, but we're not going to do it anymore. But fortunately, there are people out there who are figuring out ways to do it anyway, without Google, without the support that they offer. That's one way around this. In this particular case, though, for the station, we definitely need some newer hardware, because I think these things are really pretty ancient and they are falling apart. And that's true of other things, too. Equipment falls apart. Equipment deteriorates. It happens. It gets a lot of use. We have so many people coming through the studios and doing their radio programs. We deserve equipment that works. So your pledge can help ensure that. And if you have connections to any companies that are getting rid of equipment or that produce equipment or whatever you can offer, it definitely will be appreciated. Again, WUSB.FM, that's the website to pledge. And 631-632-6901 is the number to call. I'm not sure there are people there now. We're not in the studio directly, but we are live. And again, you can write to us here at Off the Wall, OTW at 2600.com. This is Off the Wall. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein. I have introduced myself finally 10 minutes into the show. And over there is Kyle.
Hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Hi. Well, yeah, good. I feel good about what you just said. And can't wait to get into some of these stories and just basically chat and catch up on... what is for many a holiday week, and it was overcast.
This week. I thought Thanksgiving was next week. Oh no!
Yeah, incredible.
Do I get a frozen turkey or a fresh turkey? I can't get a frozen anymore. It's too late, right? Because it takes days to defrost it. Yeah. And today is Tuesday, and Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, is on Thursday this year. So that's only 2 days. I'd have to get like an 8-pound. Do they make 8-pound turkeys?
But the have smaller ones, yeah.
They do, yeah, but I feel guilty about that. You know, they haven't quite achieved their turkey, pinnacle.
Well, invariably, many people out there are doing these same calculations right now.
Uh-huh. If you see wild turkeys in the street, by the way, out here, don't hunt them down. First of all, they're not the same kind of turkeys, all right? They're gamier, they're thinner, they manufacture, it's disgusting to say this, but they manufacture turkeys just to be eaten. They don't fly. They are different attitude completely.
Yeah, the wild ones are like more rough and tumble.
The wild ones will mess you up. They will chase you. They will catch you. And they will remember. So don't make that mistake. And the other thing, wild turkeys do a lot of good for the environment. They eat ticks. They get rid of all kinds of pests. And they're just really cool to have around. Thanksgiving this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a whirlwind. I'm sure a lot of people are excited for the meal and for what they're thankful for and all of that. And a lot of cooking. A lot of cooking is going to go on. And I don't know. I think I'm going to do a little myself. Uh-huh. And keep it very simple, though, and just
it's weird how you
try to relax.
You spend so much time preparing things, and then it's over so quickly. You know, you have a plate, and, I'm done, you know? Or maybe you have seconds, but, you know, what is that, 20 minutes?
Well, that's why it's good to employ people you're sharing the meal with to basically lend a hand during the process, because mm-hmm. you spend more time. You're working on things, asking questions, but having conversation while you're sharing the workload. So it does help things go by, and it is a good time to connect. I love spending time in the kitchen, getting it done, and that really helps people that are on their feet the whole day, really trying to orchestrate it all.
No, that's what it's about. That's the magic of it, is being together, having conversations. And you know what? Let's not be afraid to have arguments. Just keep them civil and respect each other. There are a lot of things to disagree about, certainly, but there are also things to agree about as well. All right, let's dive right into it. You know, I
recognize a lot of people are on edge, you know, so you got to respect that.
I think I finally understand Trump. I think I've cracked that code.
You didn't tell me.
Well, I've been thinking about it the last few days. That whole Mamdani meeting. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, I was worried for his safety. I was literally worried he was walking into some kind of red wedding situation. But did he shine. And I think this should be something that all those people who have their doubts about the incoming mayor of New York City should pay close attention to. He impressed Trump. He was able to win him over. That's a guy you want working for you. And the magic he will be able to achieve in that role, I don't think we can even fantasize about how that will be. But the thing with Trump is, you know he likes to be praised. You know he likes his ego stroked. But I think it's more than that. I think it's basically, if he is impressed by somebody that they know what they're talking about, they have common backgrounds, they're both from Queens, and they're just able to sync, well, then all the other stuff doesn't matter. You know, there was a reporter, the reporter's there. I don't even know where these reporters come from. They're not regular reporters. They're Trump fan people, you know. They're always trying to get Mamdani look foolish, and they're never trying that with Trump, at least not the reporters that were there that day. So they're asking him, well, you called Trump a fascist, do you still believe that? And Trump is saying things like, you don't have to answer that, or, you know what, I've been called worse. He's brushing it aside. It doesn't matter to him. It really doesn't matter. And the things that they disagree about, you know, Mamdani was able to criticize Israel. I don't even know if Trump realized he was doing that. But just basically talking about human rights in the Middle East. Well, who do you think that's aimed at? He's able to brush that aside as well. He's able to, you know, when something is coming into direct conflict, if he is impressed with the person, if he genuinely likes the person, and if that person is not directly attacking him to his face, wow, you can really get away with a lot. And that can be reflected in decisions and policies down the road. It really can be. I don't know if it's going to last. It probably won't, but it might last a little while. It definitely has eased tensions in the area as far as that goes. And it could have gone so badly. It could have, you know, somebody more immature, which is what Mamdani is accused of all the time, as being immature. Somebody truly immature would not have known how to handle that situation. And he handled it brilliantly. It was just incredible. And seeing the two of them there, you know, Trump sitting, Mamdani standing, he looked in control. He really looked in control of the situation. He did not shy away from any of the questions he was asked. He addressed everything succinctly and was able to not yield to Trump on anything. Just treat him respectfully and find that common ground and win him over. And that is not a bad thing. You know, it's a reality of the situation. We're stuck with this guy. So he's manipulable. So let's manipulate him. Let's manipulate him to the best of our desire to get what we need. I think that's really the smartest way to move forward. And I look forward to seeing what's ahead.
Yeah, it was really, I think, unexpected and a profoundly serious moment. Like, it was not it stuck out as not being such a parody as politics and that office has seemed so far. It really was a striking moment. It felt the weight of the situation and just the level of conversation there. And with... especially with that remade press corps that was just sort of messy as hell, just asking all kinds of things in the midst of what their conversation was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So, that said, we cannot forget about the danger that Trump poses, and we can't stop following everything that he does that is a threat to our way of life, a threat to our freedom, or a threat to the country. Where do we begin? Okay, well, there was the statement last week by a few Democratic elected officials that basically said something fairly simple, fairly understandable, something we all should know. But basically, they said that people in the military should not carry out orders that are illegal. Okay, you know, that's not really that controversial.
They were all members that had some proximity to service, just, you know, not to detract from that, but that they're not just a random bunch either.
Yeah, there were six of them total. And yes, as Kyle said, they all had a connection to the military. Trump went ballistic, as did all of his followers. And, you know, a number of other people, too, that are not his followers. Basically, the way the story was reported in some places was shameful. Basically saying that these six elected officials were calling for troops not to follow orders, leaving out a pretty important caveat there. Not to follow illegal orders. Okay, you know, that's all the difference right there. And then, you know, that inevitably leads to the question of, well, how are people supposed to know what's legal and what's not legal? You know, you can tell. You can tell when you've done something wrong. You can tell when you're asked to do something that doesn't feel right. And, you know, I'm not talking about, well, this strategy would work better, and I don't feel that my sergeant is telling me the right thing to do. No, it's not that. It's about hurting people, hurting innocent people. You know, it's about war crimes, things you should know something about if you're in the military. You should know something about what a war crime is and what the right behavior of someone in the military is. You know, most people in the military get this. It's not hard. It's not, and if it is hard, maybe the military isn't the right place for you. You know, there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of difficult situations and decisions. And at some point, you know, if somebody tells you to fire into a crowd of demonstrators, as Trump has asked people to consider, you say, hell no, I'm not doing that. That's all these people are saying. And there are all kinds of illegal actions that Trump has either done or has expressed a wish to do. Most recently, the bombings of these boats in the Caribbean. What the hell is going on with that? You know, this is something that Congress really needs to answer for, because they are not standing up to him enough and saying, what are you doing? You don't have the right to do this, first of all. But killing people in boats that he alleges are drug runners without providing any evidence whatsoever, that doesn't seem right. And if I were in the military, can you imagine? I certainly would not follow that order. You know, it's you have to have evidence before you start killing people. At least that is how we've been led to believe things work. Anyway, so Trump has accused these six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. He's literally threatening these people with death. Of course, the White House is trying to walk that back, but he said it. How do you walk back something when you have him saying it? He wrote on social media, "This is really bad and dangerous to our country." You know, somebody needs to study what makes him capitalize certain words. Like, he capitalized dangerous and he capitalized country. I don't understand why. It's weird. It really is. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. And now we go to all caps, but I'm not going to scream. Seditious behavior from traitors, 3 exclamation points. Lock them up, 3 question marks. As Kyle said, the six lawmakers have all served in the military or intelligence community. They called Trump's remarks dangerous, said they amounted to threats against elected officials, and don't think some of his wackier followers won't try to carry out those threats. But they said in a joint statement, no threat, intimidation, or call for violence will deter us from that sacred obligation. Now, who out there thinks that's an outrageous statement? No threat, intimidation, or call for violence will deter us from that sacred obligation. What is it that you don't agree with? That it's a sacred obligation? It is a sacred obligation. If you're in the military, if you're an elected official, hell, even if you're just a regular average person, it's a sacred obligation to honor the Constitution, to follow it, and to stand up against people that want to tear it down. So do you not agree that people should basically protect that? Now, you may say they're not protecting that. Okay, but then I want to hear how. How are they not protecting the Constitution by saying that they don't believe illegal orders should be followed? You know, it's a really difficult conversation, but I think it's pretty clear what they're saying. It's also very clear what he is saying. Now, Senator Mark Kelly is from Arizona. I read today he's being investigated by the FBI now. The Department of War, because now that's what they're called. They're basically investigating him, and now FBI agents are talking to him. It's insane. What they said is what everybody should say. That soldiers should not follow illegal orders. Kind of what Nuremberg was all about, you know? This administration is pitting our uniformed military and intelligence community professionals against American citizens, their statement said. Like us, you all swore an oath to protect and defend this Constitution. Right now, the threats coming to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home. Now, Trump's responses came on the Truth Social, wacky social media outlet. How do I read this? It's called, all caps, seditious behavior at the highest level. Back to regular type. Each one of these traitors to our country, again capitalized, should be, all caps, arrested and put on trial. Regular text, their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. You know, he just always capitalizes country. I'm starting to realize that. An example, all caps, must be set. So he's, I mean, you can't unsay these things. He said it multiple times. So what example is it that you want to set here? You want to have public executions now? I think at one point he expressed an interest in that. This is dangerous. This is a threat. We should all be concerned with this. Now, look, I started the show saying nice things about Trump. When I saw him at that press conference, he actually seemed like a pleasant person. You know, kind of grandfatherly, being, you know, protecting the young up-and-coming guy. And, you know, that's somebody people can work with. But this, I mean, you know, think of your grandfather or your uncle or somebody that you might see at Thanksgiving this week. You know, think of how nice and jovial they can be under certain situations. But if you give them too much power, you make them a king or something, they might not be as nice. They might start, you know, basically taking a little more than they're entitled to. They might start talking down to people in ways that you're not comfortable with. I think Trump is good as somebody that, you know, you just hang out with once a year during the holidays and watch football or something like that. But running a country, I don't think that's working out. I really don't. And these kinds of things sort of prove that. So, yeah, let's keep an eye on that. Another thing to keep an eye on, which is a really weird story. Have you heard about this one, Kyle? The U.S. Coast Guard is no longer going to classify the swastika. You might have heard of that. Very popular during World War II. Emblem of fascism, white supremacy, linked to the murder of millions of Jews, deaths of more than 400,000 U.S. troops in World War II. The Coast Guard will no longer classify it as a hate symbol. According to a new policy, it takes effect next month. Instead, the Coast Guard will classify the Nazi-era insignia as potentially divisive under its new guidelines. The, you know, this makes me think of when Democrats or people left of center are referred to as woke by the right wing or conservatives, because they won't call something something evil or nasty. They'll just say it's potentially divisive. Let's try to do better. Well, that's what this is. That's exactly what this is. You're taking a swastika, the symbol of hatred and murder, and saying that instead of being a hate symbol, it's just potentially divisive. And we're just going to, what, try not to offend Nazis? Give me a break. This new policy is set to take effect December 15th. It downgrades the definition of nooses and the Confederate flag, though display of the latter remains banned, according to documents reviewed by the Washington Post. Certain historic displays or artwork where the Confederate flag is a minor element are still permissible, according to the policy. Though the Coast Guard is not part of the Defense Department, the service has been reworking its policies to align with the Trump administration's changing tolerances for hazing and harassment within the U.S. military. Changing tolerances. You know, they're always so upset when people become more tolerant towards people who are different. You know, whether it's gay and lesbian or different races, different religions, different nationalities. They always feel threatened when we become more tolerant. And here they are becoming more tolerant themselves. Only they're becoming more tolerant towards Nazis and fascists. And that is their foray into tolerance. In September, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth directed a review and overhaul of those policies, calling the military's existing standards overly broad and saying they jeopardize U.S. troops' combat readiness. I don't know how that's even possible. A Coast Guard official who had seen the new wording called the policy changes chilling. "We don't deserve the trust of the nation if we're unclear about the divisiveness of swastikas," the official said, speaking on the condition of anonymity due to a fear of reprisal. You know, I never used to say that before when talking about our own government, our own country. You know, speaking because of fear of reprisal. I mean, yeah, I guess we're just going right into the Nazi era, and you know, the executions will begin at dusk. Former Coast Guard Commandant, that's how you pronounce that, Admiral Linda Fagan, the first woman to lead a branch of the U.S. military, was fired on Trump's first day in office for what administration officials said then was her focus on diversity initiatives and her handling of sexual assault investigations, which was probably investigating them. Within days, her replacement, Acting Commandant Admiral Kevin Lundy, who is not a woman, ordered the suspension of the Coast Guard's hazing and harassment policy that, among its other guidance, said explicitly that the swastika was among a list of symbols whose display, presentation, creation, or depiction would constitute a potential hate incident. Nooses and the Confederate flag also matched that description under the previous policy. Lundy was later nominated by Trump to become the service's commandant. His Senate confirmation hearing was held Wednesday. He was due to meet with lawmakers Thursday. It's unclear when the Senate Commerce, Transportation, and Science Committee, which has jurisdiction over DHS, may vote to advance Lundy's nomination. So, yeah. But here's the other thing with this new policy. It also limits the amount of time that service members have to formally report the display of a noose or swastika, which could be enormously problematic for personnel at sea. You know, like the Navy, Coast Guard members can be deployed for months at a time. This new policy gives them 45 days to report an incident, whereas the previous policy did not have a deadline other than to advise that Coast Guard members who see a potential hate incident should immediately report it to a member higher in their chain of command. So basically what this means is if you're out there at sea, you see a swastika or a noose, in the past, you'd report it to your superior, who would then be obligated as soon as possible to report it to their superior. But now they can wait 45 days before they do anything. Yeah. And that deadline will have a chilling effect. One Coast Guard official said, if you're at sea and your shipmate has a swastika in their rack, and you are a black person or Jew, and you are going to be stuck at sea with them for the next 60 days, are you going to feel safe reporting that up to your chain of command? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, reports indicate that this policy has been backtracked. Information has impact, the Washington Post has insisted. On Thursday, the paper showed how quickly its reporting could lead to results. And everyone should listen to this, because that's what journalism is all about. Even at the Washington Post, which has struggled lately. It was labeled as a purveyor of fake news because of the change it led to, so I guess you'll have to decide. The Post reported U.S. Coast Guard will no longer classify swastikas and nooses as hate symbols. The reporting, which comes as the Trump administration has pledged to combat anti-Semitism, while the Defense Department, which, as mentioned, the Coast Guard does not sit under, has criticized anti-harassment policy as overly broad, sparked immediate outcry from the public and members of Congress, as well it should have. Representative Rick Larson, I believe one of your representatives, Kyle, from Washington, he posted on Twitter, "Lynching is a federal hate crime. The world defeated the Nazis in 1945. The debate on these symbols is over. They symbolize hate. Coast Guard, be better." Ed Markey, my old friend from Massachusetts, Senator, "This is disgusting," he said. We cannot let the Trump administration normalize hate." Representative Laura Underwood of Illinois posted on Twitter that she met with Coast Guard Acting Commandant Admiral Kevin Lunday, who committed to publishing an updated version of the policy later in the evening. "Displays of hate have no place in our armed services," she said. Tara Kopp is one of the two reporters of the Post story, and she said on Twitter that the Coast Guard initially did not respond to requests for comment, but after publication, a Coast Guard spokesperson said that the Armed Forces branch disagreed with the story and that it would look into the policy and will be reviewing the language that apparently downgrades the classification of these symbols. Lunday also reportedly sent an email to the force afterwards that emphasized the symbols remain prohibited. The claims that the U.S. Coast Guard will no longer classify swastikas, nooses, or other extremist imagery as prohibited symbols are categorically false, he said. These symbols have been and remain prohibited in the Coast Guard per policy. Well, how about that? Lunday added that the Coast Guard remains unwavering in its commitment to fostering a safe, respectful, and professional workplace, and that any display, use, or promotion of such symbols, as always, will be thoroughly investigated and severely punished, as those symbols violate our core values. The Department of Homeland Security, which oversees the Coast Guard, also blasted the Post report. "The Washington Post should be embarrassed. It published this fake crap," said Tricia McLaughlin, DHS spokesperson. The DHS's official Twitter account also posted, "Y'all are just making things up now." Y'all? Really? That's what DHS, that's how they talk? Okay, fine. Kopp, the Post reporter, added in another Twitter post later Thursday that the Coast Guard published a new policy dated November 20th that reestablishes that it specifically sees swastikas and nooses as hate symbols, not as just potentially divisive, and states that they are expressly prohibited. Importantly, it says the new guidance published tonight would supersede any other policies out there. Now, Lunday issued a memo to all Coast Guard personnel publicly late Thursday in which he re-emphasized that divisive or hate symbols and flags are prohibited and said that any display of such symbols must be removed. An accompanying press release stated that the memo was not an updated policy, but a new policy to combat any misinformation and double down that the U.S. Coast Guard forbids these symbols. Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii noted the apparent contradiction on DHS's framing of the sequence of events in a post on Twitter. Everything's a post on Twitter these days. So they are not approving the policy change that was in the works because the Washington Post reported about it. Good, but that means the reporting was accurate. It also means that journalism still matters. And good on them for getting it right. The Post, that is. The Coast Guard, I don't know. I don't know what was going on there, but that was crazy. That was nuts. All right, this whole CDC thing, yeah, there's a new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention statement that retracts a longstanding statement on its website that vaccines do not cause autism. Local pediatricians here on Long Island, other experts said that the new statement is misleading and ignores decades of scientific research that has not shown a link between vaccines and autism, and omits how vaccines prevent children from dying or getting severely ill from diseases like measles, polio, whooping cough, and diphtheria. The CDC updated its website a week ago on Wednesday to say that studies have not ruled out the possibility that infant vaccines contribute to the development of autism. Except, of course, they have. They have. And the CDC of a week ago agreed with that. Dr. Eve Meltzer-Kreef, a pediatrician at Allied Physician Group's Huntington Village Pediatrics and vice president of the American Academy of Pediatrics chapter, said it's simply misinformation. Dr. Anne-Marie Strastrup, the senior vice president for pediatric services at Northwell Health, said we can with great confidence over decades of research say there is no evidence to think that vaccines cause autism, and there is no evidence that we should believe when it says vaccines are not safe, and in fact, they are very, very healthy for children. But this Newsday story, of course, has to get the other side, no matter how wacky it is and how few people subscribe to it. John Gilmore of Long Beach, who leads the Vaccine Skeptical Autism Action Network, said, "It's simply an accurate statement of where the science is at this point. The evidence simply isn't there to prove it one way or the other." And this is how these arguments go, where basically somebody just comes up and says, well, the evidence isn't there, even when the evidence is there and has been there for a long, long time. Now, here's a fact, and this is what Strastrup said to this this opinion. It's really, really hard in science to prove the negative, to say that this will never, ever happen in the history of the world. It has not been proven 100% that there is no case of autism caused by blueberries or caused by wearing a pink hat on Saturdays. Kyle, how many times have I said wearing a pink hat on Saturdays might make you autistic? You can't prove that it's impossible. You can't.
Yeah, not nearly enough. No, you haven't said that.
No, I've said it. I say it all the time. Say it to the point where I drive people mad. But yeah, that is how this works. You know, it's people just hit you over and over again saying that, evolution is only a theory. You know, gravity is only a theory. All these things are just theories. So you can't prove it. And now this is how the CDC is being run. They're replacing people in the CDC with vaccine skeptics. The CDC, for God's sake. It's in the name. Disease control. You control diseases with vaccines. Vaccines that have been proven. Vaccines that are safe. Vaccines that are effective. It's insane. It's crazy. Hang on, I'm looking for something a bit more upbeat. Oh, well, here's something. We talked about the dispensaries last week. Good news. There is good news here on Long Island. Our friend Steve wrote us earlier with a picture of a dispensary in upstate New York that was opening with just locally grown product. And he said not the Long Island type regulations that we have. And that's so true, because Long Island is becoming known as this place where, you know, everything is forbidden. And you have all these regulations and rules. And it's funny because, you know, they blame the liberals for this, but these are conservatives doing this. And it's just maddening because marijuana is legal in New York State. It was approved by the voters in many, many places. And it's allowed in Brookhaven, which is the town that we are in right now. So the fact that it was so difficult to open a dispensary in this town was driving a lot of people crazy. It really was. You know, the first one opened early in the summer in Setauket and was almost immediately shut down because the landlord didn't like what they were doing and pointed to federal policy, even though this was not an issue anywhere that that marijuana was legalized throughout the country. And according to today's Newsday, that dispensary, Strong Strains, is going to reopen this Friday. Yeah, imagine that. The case has not been settled, but the judge has basically said that they can reopen while they proceed with the case. So that's a lot more reasonable than shuttering the place. And why is it being shuttered exactly? Because some people don't like it. Well, okay, don't go there then. I'm sorry, but this is something that brings lots of tax dollars to the local communities. It helps people. It's been proven to be effective and beneficial, and it's been legalized here. So what are we waiting for? So finally, there is going to be a dispensary in Brookhaven. And actually, I'm speaking a little bit ahead of myself because there have been two more that have opened in the weeks prior. I think one in Farmingville and one in Coram. So there are now three, not counting the ones that are on the reservation at Passepartout.
Yeah, economically, it's really good. It's also, don't forget, something that is taxed. You have this revenue stream, and the more outlets, the more places it can be distributed, that can be collected and go to some of the causes, some of the overall good for having made it legal. And also just in general, safe access is a big deal. You want people to be able to get something that is been tested, and you know, if they're going to be partaking in it, if they're going to be purchasing stuff like that, it's labeled, it has all the sorts of caution and data on it about what exactly people are purchasing. So yeah, having them close erroneously or for quibbles over siting or zoning and placement of the places, it is a disservice to what is going on quite successfully, as you pointed out and our friend did, in other parts of the state and the country. I don't think it's the threat to conservatism that people might think it is. There's plenty of places that are able to get along with this industry and the legalization efforts that are themselves conservative or otherwise not necessarily big supporters or a big element of that community. They can still coexist, and it does good for the state. So
it does for the local community and everything, really. State Supreme Court Justice James Hudson last week lifted his injunction that barred Strong Strains from operating in the Stony Brook Technology Center. Hudson acted after the property manager, Stony Brook Technology Center Association, declined to post a $3.75 million bond that had been required as part of Hudson's injunction. That's according to a lawyer for the association. Strong Strains attorneys David Holland and Andrew Shriver of Manhattan said Monday the store likely will reopen. Looks like Friday at the moment, according to their website. after rehiring staff and stocking shelves. You know, I visited there a couple of times. It was always such a positive environment, as, you know, all the various dispensaries that we have visited throughout the country. And we kind of, you know, we're fascinated by how they operate, what's different about how they run in different countries, different states. Like Vermont is very different from New York, which is very different from Washington, which is very different from Canada. To see that as a threat means that you're just, you're not paying attention. You're not going there yourself and witnessing it. It's something that is good for the community because it takes it out of the alleys, and it regulates the distribution. It also ensures that what you're buying is safe, which you get no such assurances when you buy something in a parking lot. The Stony Brook Technology Center Association had sued Strong Strains in August, alleging the store did not comply with the Corporate Parks rules, which bar activities that are disallowed by federal law, or so they say. Recreational marijuana is legal in New York, but banned under federal law. But not a problem anywhere else, apparently. Holland and Shriver estimated the store had lost $1.7 million since closing in August, and a good chunk of that was lost by the town for not having tax revenue. Our client was really caught by surprise that he was in this court case in the first place, Shriver said in a phone interview. Long Island is mostly shut out from the cannabis business. To get that opportunity and have that opportunity quashed is a very difficult circumstance. A lawyer for the property manager, Brian Egan of Patchogue, said in a text that Hudson lifting the injunction does not change the underlying merits of the case against Strong Strains, but only allows them to open while the case is pending, which really should have been the case throughout. But the thing is, you know, if you're open for a period of time, people will see the benefits. You know, you give them a chance. And there is not a single place that I'm aware of in the country that has allowed marijuana to become legal and change their minds, because it's a disaster, because it hasn't been a disaster anywhere. Meanwhile, bars are opening left and right, and nobody says anything about that. Strong Strains is one of 9 recreational marijuana stores on Long Island. 9 on the whole island. A whole island, only 9. And they're all in Suffolk County because NASA, in their infinite wisdom, has opted out of pot sales to the detriment of their citizens. A second Brookhaven pot store has since opened in Corum. Cannabis shops in Farmingville and Medford have received state licenses. I believe Farmingville is already open. The day Strong Strains opened, the property managers, including Ronkonkoma-based Tritech Real Estate, filed a cease and desist letter demanding the store close immediately, citing the federal ban on recreational pot, which is a ridiculous argument. You know, with that argument, nothing would be able to open. And it's just something that has not been used anywhere else that I can find. Holland and Shriver said Strong Strains owner Surinder Sandhu did not learn of the Corporate Parks pot shop ban until after the store opened, which is kind of weird that this ban existed and wasn't really talked about very much. Conversely, the landlord would have been told that this was going to open and waited until after it opened to file any papers against it. It was causing all kinds of wasted expense and just big waste of time. All right, we are almost out of time. Again, Thanksgiving's coming up in a couple of days. Any thoughts, Kyle?
About Thanksgiving in a couple of days? Well, it's I hope everybody is able to have a safe holiday, and they at least have a one or two things they're thankful for. And I'm thankful that people listen today. And yeah, about the dispensaries, like, yeah, support it. If you're not interested, don't go there. But just in general, it's not weak strains. It's strong. So maybe, you know, that's part of the strength, is there's a little misunderstanding here and people can get back to normal. But it's also this strange thing of a really huge population. And culturally, it just has been really in the shadows for quite a while. And out here, it has to be sort of defined locally and become a fabric, you know, a part of the neighborhood in ways it hasn't been. So we'll just, like, I guess, let that play out. And hopefully the spirit of the holiday and forgiveness and the warmth of the season will shine through, even to property owners.
Is forgiveness part of Thanksgiving? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, thankfulness, you know, you can be thankful for your opponent in a dispute like that. Mm-hmm. and they're making you stronger and better and will allow who you are in the community to really shine through despite the critiques.
I just hope, you know, we put aside all the ignorance and fear that seems to have been the theme in recent months and even years. You know, instead of assuming the worst of somebody, whether it's cannabis or Mondani, give these new things a chance and see how they work out and see if they work out, you know, because a lot of things that we embrace today are not working out. And we need to take a good look at that as well. One final story, which I thought was kind of interesting and kind of tying into our ice theme of the night. A West Hampton mail carrier, West Hampton out east, has been charged with obstructing a federal proceeding after she allegedly freed a man being detained by ICE officers from a law enforcement vehicle, allowing him to briefly escape detention. Mail carrier. Yeah, they're powerful people. U.S. Magistrate Ann Shields ordered Tamara Mayoga Wong of West Hampton Beach released on $50,000 bond during an arraignment Thursday afternoon at the Eastern District of New York Courthouse in Central Islip, where ICE agents were seen today. Mayoga Wong appeared frightened and anxious as she pleaded not guilty to the obstruction charge during Thursday's hearing. She and her attorney, Felipe Garcia of the Federal Defenders, declined to talk to reporters as they exited the courthouse. Mayoga Wong was wearing her U.S. Postal Service uniform on November 5th when she exited the post office after seeing agents taking a man into custody outside a neighboring 7-Eleven store, according to an affidavit filed by a special agent with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. "You can't do this," the agent alleges Mayoga Wong shouted as she demanded to see a warrant for the arrest of the man, who was not named in court records. As officers entered the front doors of the vehicle and prepared to drive away, Mayoga Wong allegedly ran to the rear passenger side and opened the door. Speaking in Spanish, she told the man to flee. Well, they eventually caught the guy, and then they caught her as well. But she had some things to say to them. You know, she asked a bilingual deportation officer while in custody, why are you doing this to your own people? What are you going to tell your children about what you do? I think, you know, maybe we should listen to her, you know, because these are some serious questions. And I don't doubt for one second that during Thanksgiving, these bastards will be raiding people's homes and inflicting terror on the kids and just behaving with such dishonor and so contrary to what this country is alleged to stand for. You know, we disagree on many things, but to treat people in this way simply because they are not legal citizens, I think we're finding that there are strong disagreements as to just how much enforcement you need for that, for people who have not committed any other crime. Well, that's something to think about. And we'll see you next week. OTW@2600.com. Good night.
Well, if you're looking for purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll make you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kinda tough, I put a kid in cuffs, I zip-tied a lady to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down, I hear they got a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. Well, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun, so I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. I got picked on in school, I never felt that cool, there's a hole in my soul that just rages. All the ladies turned me down and I felt like a clown, but will you look at me now, I'm putting folks in cages. At ICE, for respect and power, join ICE, I hear they got great hours. There's a sign-on bonus of 50 grand. They're in need of you needing to feel like a man. Join ICE. Look at them go. Circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll make you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. See, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun, so I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE.